I want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome each one to this part of the service. I would like to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews is commonly called the book of better things. And I think if with just a little reading, we can see that this holds true. Appreciated a lot the service, the singing this morning, the devotional, our Sunday school hour, and the song we just sang, which says, our hope is to be pressing on and to gain higher ground. I'm going to need 5 volunteers. All you'll be asked to do is read a scripture, but I'd like to see who you are. Forgot to bring my glasses this morning, so I'm going to ask you just to read one sentence. So if I could have 5 people stand up, it can be either from either side. I'm just going to ask you to read a scripture. Okay, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1 more. 5, okay. Start with you, Amy. Read the first sentence in Hebrews 1. Kendra, you read the first sentence in Hebrews 2. Jonathan, the first one in Hebrews 3. Andy, the first one in 4. And Lyle, the first one in 5. We're looking at chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And not to be tedious, we'll skip 6 and 7, then we're going to go on into 8. But we're just going to read one sentence in each of those chapters. And listen carefully to the context of these first sentences. Now, a sentence ends with a period. So read till you come to a period, okay? All right. Let's have the first sentence there. Okay, notice who is the focus of that sentence. All right, let's have the next chapter 2.
Therefore, we have to give the more earnestly to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
All right, chapter 3. Right, chapter 4. All right, chapter 5. Okay, in all of those, you see that Christ is the focus on every one of those. He's the central figure in the book of, in the book of Hebrews, the book of better things. And now, if we turn to chapter 8, it kind of sums it up, and it uses the word "some" in this first verse. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. You know, I'm blessed with the book of better things. Hebrews shows us that we are living in this time. We are living in this time that he was speaking of in this book. And let's now turn to the last part of chapter 8 and in verse 8. Back up just one verse and read verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, because they had continued not in my covenant, and I regard them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. You know, this tells us the essence of why Christ came. He came to be our Father and our High Priest. He came to be our salvation. And these verses that Paul, the writer of Hebrews, presumably Paul, quotes here are taken exactly from the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 31:31, I will read. It says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, and after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and will remember their sin no more. You know, I'm always impressed with the fact that God, he had written this many years earlier, and what he's saying is that it's going to be in their hearts. And that's really an interesting concept because it is something that can't be easily taken away. This year is on August the 13th will be the 40th anniversary for my wife and I. And I remember well that day. There was something that happened that it changed my life. I never forgot that I was married when we got married that day. That was a relationship that came to a certain point and then kind of changed direction a little bit. Or I shouldn't say changed direction. There's some parameters have changed a little bit. But that was something that was beautiful and kept on going. And that's the kind of relationship that Christ wants to have with his church. He wants to he wants us to never forget that he is ours and we are his. And that is tremendously precious. And so the old covenant was an effort to make God's people remember that they are God's people. And they fell away from that, and they forgot, and they disobeyed, and they became forgetful and carnal. But Jesus said, I'm going to do something that you won't forget. And that's when it's in your heart. When you'll remember that you are God's and that he is yours. It changes everything. It changes the fact that you won't just think about yourself, but you'll think about how this affects your relationship. One of the vices that I had when I got married was I loved to shoot and I loved guns. And my wife learned to like them a little bit, but I couldn't just buy a gun whenever I wanted to. And after a while I had to consider, someone said that whenever you spend money on yourself, you need to give the equal amount to your wife. Well, that's pretty tough when you're trying, when you don't have enough. And so, you know, some of those things just have to leave. But you don't forget. You just don't forget. And that's what Jesus is saying, is what's going to happen to the real people, to the ones that are really serving him in his day. I didn't have to carry my marriage license with me to remember that I was married. I didn't have to show it to other people to say that, this is it. But it was there. It was in my heart. And that's the way real Christianity works today. It's in your heart. You don't forget. You are a different person. And that was written way back hundreds of years before. The writer of the Hebrews, he pulled out this prophecy, and it was written many, many years before. And he said it just exactly like that, and it was true, and it's true today. God wants a relationship that we know that we are his and he is ours. And doing that will take care of an enormous amount of conflict within us if we remember that we are his and he is ours. I'd like to turn back to this one song that we sang this morning. In fact, all of the songs spoke very, very much to our need. But the song, song number 43, we sang those words, and we often do. I love this song. Love divine, all love excelling. But listen to these words. Verse 3, come almighty to deliver. Let us all thy life receive, suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above, pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure unspotted let us be, let us see our whole salvation, perfectly secured by thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Beautiful words that can be a reality if we have this relationship with him today.